demanding the super rich to pay their fair share for once. The Rick Smith Show. I got a bad case. I'm turning it up. It's getting cold in here, so fire it up. I got a bad case. I'm turning it up. It's getting cold in here, so somebody.
So last night, the big debate. Wow. What a difference, in my view, between what the Democrats did last night in their first debate of the primary season and what's really been going on the right wing. Honestly, if you look at it, you've got adults in the room and children. The Republican debates, you know, kind of just like bread and circus, kind of a bunch of nonsense. The Democrats, you know, they tried. You give them credit for talking about issues. I've been curious how the mainstream media is going to kind of pick up on it, which is why we've asked Julia Alderman. She's a researcher over at Media Matters for America. They keep an eye on this kind of stuff for us. Julia, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
So last night, I was impressed that they didn't act like children, but not surprised, I guess, where I should put that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a sharp contrast you can draw from what we saw last night, which was largely a substantive debate talking largely about the issues to, you know, the last couple of debates we've seen.
The moment for me was really when Bernie Sanders turned and goes, enough with the damn emails already. To me, that was an important moment saying, look, enough of this nonsense. Let's talk about what's really going on, what the American people really want, what working folks in this country need politicians to be talking about. I really thought that was an important moment.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something the media has really grasped onto. And it's so different from the last debate where you hear where the moderator, Jake Tapper, was trying to get Republicans to personally attack each other. And he said that was their goal with that debate. And this one, it was, you know, you had the candidates saying, let's talk about the issues. Let's talk about what Americans want to hear. And we're sick of this email stuff. Let's move on. And I don't think that would have happened in a Republican debate.
No, it surely would not have. And I think, you know, if you've watched both at this point, I honestly don't know how the fake news on Fox and how the right wing can look at both debates and go, American people, choose the Republicans. I don't know how that happens.
Well, it's the way that Fox has been covering it is very different. One thing we've been seeing in the mainstream media is a narrative of Clinton was largely very successful last night. And on Fox, you're seeing, I was just watching now, and Howard Kurtz, the host of Media Buzz, was sort of lamenting that Clinton only got asked two questions on her email. They don't seem to want to talk about the issues.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the email's okay. We've had seven investigations already. I think by now you get to the bottom of some things. And this drips and drabs of releasing stuff, at some point you just go, here it is, put it out there, let's deal with it and move on. To be honest, don't really give a damn about the emails, like Bernie said. I care about workers being able to make a living wage. I care about trade policies that are going to stop fleeing, allowing companies to flee overseas. Those are the things I think are really important.
And that's what voters want to hear about, too, so they can make an informed decision when it comes time to cast a ballot.
So any other surprises in your mind that came out of, other than I love the Lincoln Chafees, I'm kind of like granite, which I thought was kind of funny?
Yeah, there were definitely, it was a lot of introducing largely Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb, and to a degree Martin O'Malley, to the public, because there was a poll recently and Hillary was known by every single person. The name ID was so high.
Right.
And the others just were virtually unknown, unheard of, unless you're watching this intensely. So it was largely a night for them to introduce themselves, and they definitely made an impression. I think that was one of Chafee's, I guess, stronger moments, if you don't mind my granite pun.
Yeah, no, I mean, one of his stronger moments was that, and everything else was downhill. I mean, this is a guy who voted to repeal Glass-Steagall and then going and trying to justify that. To me, he immediately lost me. Immediately, when your first line, and this happened with Jim Webb as well, when your first line is I'm going to reach across the aisle and we're going to all sing Kumbaya, okay, that's really not going to happen. Good luck on that.
Yeah, and you look at people who've had experience doing that. You look at people like Clinton, and like they're concrete examples of reaching across the aisle, and Bernie Sanders too. When they brought up their achievements, it's a lot easier to see, why they're the front runners.
So is Fox News jumping on the red baiting? I mean, Anderson Cooper asked the question, as he should have, about Sanders being a Democratic socialist, of which, you know, I think a lot of people, once you get away from the title, a lot of people are Democratic socialists. They just don't know it yet.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things. Once you sort of dissociate the word socialist, you know, if you take any sort of ideology quiz, a lot of people identify as, will come out as Democratic socialists. So Fox isn't really jumping on that as much. A lot of it is sort of bringing down Clinton's good night. I think everyone can agree Clinton had a really good night last night.
She did.
And they're trying to derail that by saying that she dodged questions about Benghazi when she answered the question correctly, saying that, you know, there have been investigations into Benghazi. They cleared wrongdoing. And I think Jim Webb was the one who brought it up, actually. They're saying that she dodged hard questions when she did get asked a lot of hard questions. She got asked about her record, about her stances on the issues like TPP and Keystone, which her answer on Keystone was probably one of her weaker moments of the evening.
Right.
But overall, it's still a very strong performance, and they're just trying to derail that.
No, I thought she did better than I thought she would, to be honest. She came off as somewhat warm. She came off as with a lot of energy and quick responses, except for the Keystone thing. And I thought she did really well, much better than I thought she was going to do.
I definitely agree. I think with her, the standards were, or the bar was already so high, because people have seen her debate before. People have never, the other candidates, the other four, had never been on a stage that big. Hillary had, people had expectations, and the fact that she exceeded them just really shows what prep will do. And I think some of the criticism of Sanders, although not as extreme as the other candidates, is that he didn't prepare as much. And it just really, that was a really drastic contrast between the two.
Yeah, but that's not his style. I mean, the thing I like about Bernie Sanders, and I do, I like him a lot, is that he's an honest guy. I mean, he's who you get. What you see is what you get, and there's not a lot of polish there. I mean, one of the things I like about him is, you know, he's kind of a gruff curmudgeon, if you will, and he's going to tell you what it is. He's like your grandfather. You know,
yeah.
He's going to, this is how it is, and you listen to me, and enough with the damn emails.
Yeah, it's exactly that, and that plays really well to his base. People who already like him enough, people who like him are going to like him more after seeing that, because he's who he is. He's not putting on some different mask to go into a debate or anything. He knows the issues. He knows where he stands. He believes in everything he says. And that's what makes him a really strong candidate in this primary.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, right from the beginning, I don't know if you watched the opening introductions of Who We Are, you could tell that, you know, especially O'Malley and Chafee, that they were reading their opening statements. From somewhere, there was a trail. It just looked like they were reading off a teleprompter. And all of them looked at some level like they were. But you could tell that Bernie, he was, it was just, it looked like it was coming off the cuff. Whether it was or not is a whole other story. But you got that feeling that this is just, it's his rhetoric, man. It's his line.
Yeah, I think one thing that I sort of hypothesize is you can tell that a lot of the other candidates spent a lot of time on their opening statements, thinking that would be important, but I think Bernie realized that the important thing is the issues.
Yep.
And he got into those right away. And I think that's, I mean, even you saw Hillary saying, you know, this is my family, I'm also a grandmother, which is something she does like to incorporate. But I think you really saw Sanders saying, I don't really care about this frilly opening statement stuff. I want to talk, people want to hear about the issues, that's what I'm going to talk about.
Now, there were some differences. I mean, and when you look at foreign policy, there were some differences. Unlike the Republican side, where there seemed to be wide swings in how crazy each candidate wanted to get, it seemed like the Democrats, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it seemed like on a lot of the issues, they were right there. They were all on the same page. They didn't have a lot of, you know, huge chasms between their policies. But except in like in foreign policy. I mean, there were some issues that with Syria, for instance, where you just kind of go, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the reason they didn't ask about things like abortion, because they know that these candidates, they're all on the same side of that. And in the debate, you want to hear what differs candidate to candidate. So something like foreign policy, especially when you have people with wide degrees of experience in very different realms of foreign policy. If you look at Jim Webb's military career and you look at Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State, they vary so drastically, it's understandable why they have different points of view, and they're there to explain it, and I think that's what a debate should be.
Right, and that's the key. That last night was what a debate should have been. Do you think the Republicans will get the hint? Do you think the moderators, because I thought Anderson Cooper did a fairly good job.
Yeah, and Anderson Cooper has been getting rave reviews, and I think rightly so. He was quick on his feet. He knew the facts. He knew what he was talking about. He was able to follow up questions effectively, but not dwell on something forever. I think it also helped that there were less than half the amount of people on this stage than there were at the last Republican debate. It made for less of a zoo.
Yeah, good point.
And I'm hoping we'll see that as the Republican field thins. We'll be able to see more substantial debates. I mean, look at the talking times yesterday. The debate was only 2 hours. And every candidate got a substantial amount of time. If you look at the Republicans, sometimes like Scott Walker got less than like 7 minutes in a 3-hour debate last time.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, but it just shows, you know, there's no time to talk about the issues there.
Yeah, but to be honest, I don't think Jim Webb thought he got enough time no matter what. He could have probably talked the whole time and still would have complained he wanted more.
Yeah, and I think that's, if you're polling at less than 3%, you're probably going to want more time. I think we're going to see a bump for O'Malley after this, and maybe the other candidate, maybe Webb and Chafee as well, just because people didn't know who they were before
right.
this.
Do you think Chafee's done? I mean, because I looked at it last night. He seemed a little confused. He seemed, you know, of the candidates up there, the least polished. You know, and I kept going, you know, I think this is an exit moment for him.
It very well could be. I think it's hard when you're pulling at 1% and you have been for so long and you're staying stagnant when you know to leave. It might be closer to the Iowa caucuses. It may depend if Joe Biden gets in. I think we'll probably see some polls right after the debate in the coming days, and we'll see from there. But I could definitely see that as a possibility. Yeah.
So your thought, first, second, who won? Who was the first, who was second?
I think Hillary was first. I think she exceeded expectations from everyone, and the expectations that they said were very high for her. And I think Bernie did a great job appealing to people who love him already. He did a great job saying, this is who I am. I want to be your president. This is what I care about.
And now the really tough one, who came in third? Because, you know, that's the weird spot, because I think that's the guy who stays around for a while.
You know, I think it's tough. I think it's O'Malley, honestly. I think people weren't really aware of who he was as much as the other candidates, as Bernie and Hillary at least. And I think that he was able to articulate his experience as an executive well. I think that was one area where Lincoln Chafee could have been stronger, but he wasn't in articulating how he acted in an executive role in Rhode Island. And I think O'Malley did a great job contrasting that with Hillary and Bernie's Senate.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well, good stuff. I appreciate you taking a little time for us, giving us a little insight. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Julie. Julie Alderman, she's a researcher over at Media Matters for America. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. It's kind of hard when everyone looks up to you. Try to make it look easy. Gonna make it look good. Like it.